Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Productions, one of the few black-owned networks that addresses solutions for the black community. Present tonight, Black Urban America. The lineup for this week, on Tuesday evenings, we have Black Urban America, and I'm your host, Kenny Jones. On Wednesday evenings, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. On Thursday, we have Port of Magazine by Mr. Wayne, no, excuse me, Part of Harlem Magazine by Mr. Wayne A. Young. And on Saturday, we have Provocative Thought by Carter Sleeve. All shows begin at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, we have our guest for tonight is a young man who is the business advisor at TMI and Partners, and also he's an ordained minister, and finally, he's a personal trainer. So this brother works on financial, spiritual, and physical development of the individual. And I have his name is Mr. Rudy Antonio Moses Jr. Welcome to Black Earth America, Brother Rudy.
Well, I appreciate you having me, man. I appreciate the opportunity to be on and to spread some knowledge for the next hour or so and just chop it up with you.
Yeah, so you said you want to discuss some of the current events that's going on. And oh, I forgot to say this before I go on. All you individuals that are listening by laptop and want to participate, the call-in number is 516-531-9540 and press 1. Now, you say, Brother Rudy, you say you wanted to discuss some of the current events that's going on in our country and everything. So the floor is yours. What event you would like to start out with?
Well, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just introduce myself. I've got some revisions as far as what I'm doing for that first part with the TMI. So if it's okay with you, I would like to introduce myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, Go right ahead. I thought I covered all the bases. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I used to do TMI, but I kind of stopped with it. But I am still doing financial services and helping people with a company that I'm with called Primerica. Most people are used to probably have heard of it before. So I still am in that area with financial services, and you know, but still doing a fitness training, and still doing, you know, ordained ministry, and all that's based in Atlanta, Georgia. And for those that are in Georgia, I'm more closer to Conyers. I'm in Conyers, Georgia, but Atlanta covers a more broader base for everybody that might be listening that's out of state.
No, okay. So, tell me, financial services. What type of financial services do you offer?
So with Primerica, our base business is life insurance, and the company has been around for almost 45 years. It's a very reputable company, and what we do, especially in the black community, is to set up the ground base work for people to become properly protected, because as you know, with you know, people passing away, if you notice the trend is to have a GoFundMe account and try to sell fish plates and dinner plates and do what you can to bury your loved ones with respect. Not in all situations, but in the majority of situations. So what we do at Primerica is we're able to sit down with families and help them plan that part of it. Not only that, but then we do the part where we say, okay, if you live longer than what the term insurance has for you, we can actually set up to where you can have money so that way if you do outlive the policy that we have, you're already set. So we kind of do the 1-2 punch with that, along with other things like home, auto, just different vicinities to help. And the reason I love this business is because it helps. It goes into the Black community and lets people know that it's possible to do not only set up for your wealth, but to set up a financial legacy for your family, so you're not stuck at the bottom just in case something happens to the matriarch or patriarch of the family.
Michonne, that's up your alley, yeah. Isn't it? Michonne.
Something like that. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. So y'all two have a lot in common, huh?
Yes, I do insurance.
Okay. Well, we got two entrepreneurs on the show tonight. Now, why ask you what topics you want to discuss? You say you want to discuss some of the current events that's going on in America today. So what would you like to start off with?
Let's start off with, what's going on with the police shootings and Black Lives Matter and what we can do as a community to come together and, better ourselves.
Well, speaking of the police shootings, I have to say this, and I knew that was going to be one of the topics. I am very, very proud of those young brothers of the NBA and what they did during the past week. And they brought more attention this week to social injustice, inequality, police brutality, what have you, just with that one act. And they was willing to put everything on the line just to bring attention to it. So I have to say big ups to the young brothers in the NBA. And I hope, and I very sincerely hope, that the NFL ball players will follow suit. And if they don't, I won't be watching the NFL this year.
I can definitely agree with the NBA players taking a stand. And it's funny because I look, and I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And
right here,
it's
Brooklyn,
funny because
East New York myself.
Yeah. Say that again.
East New York myself.
Okay, bet. So yeah, it's funny because with the NBA and NFL with the NBA stand, or just to actually lump it all together, is the fact that you have people that are rooting for the same team, and it's like you could have one person that's, and it gets, because of everything that's going on, it gets divided. And I think, I'll be the first one to tell you that I have love for everybody. I have love for those friends that I have that are white, that root for the Giants or whoever. But to look at it and to say, well, just run your ball or just play ball and don't speak out, they're not understanding the fact that this is just stem from the NBA players just doing this off of a whim because they want to now. It's a futuristic thing. This is something that Muhammad Ali did in protest to the things that were going on, the Vietnam War and MLK dying, and this has been going on. So this form of protest, just in the start with the NBA players this year or back in 2016 when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, this was started way before that, way before when Bill Russell and Jackie Robinson were fighting to get equality.
Right.
And I think with that aspect, you're always going to have our Caucasian counterparts where you'd be split on the side. They don't understand the reason. We're going to have the one side that sympathizes, like you know, with the clip they show with Jackie Robinson and his teammate when they show the movie 42, and the teammate puts his arms around him. So you're always going to have the two sides where you're going to have those who say, "Hey, look, I might not understand your situation, but I empathize with it, and I'm willing to listen." And you're always going to have the other side that doesn't want to listen. So I'm with you with commending the NBA players that say, "Hey, look, I have a platform," and the excuse, "Well, you're rich, you don't have to worry about those problems," isn't enough. The fact that the fact that those players come from those places like Missouri or like a Chicago or like somewhere like that, and where it's enriched in poverty, and then they speak out about it, you can't shun them or shut them down because they want to do that. They understand that, guess what, that's what makes the world go around, green. And if we could get the attention of those people up top and let them know, "Hey, look, I don't care how much you pay me, that my life matters just as much as your life matters." And I'm with you. I piggyback with you with saying that the NBA players have every right to protest and make it be known that, look, we are tired of being treated like animals. You know, so I think that's a step in the right direction for the players to do so, and for us as you know, individuals who are still in the grind in those communities, it's up to us to say, "Hey, look, we don't want to be treated that same way. We want to be looked at as human beings and have the same rights and not be stopped or not be treated unjustly in the justice system."
The first time I saw a black athlete protest was in 1968 Olympics in the 440-yard dash. And they came in, one came in first, and I think the other one came in third. And it was John Carlos and, the other brother name escapes. I think Lee Evans. I'm not too sure about the other brother, but I know what. And they paid a dear price. I mean, both of them are doing great now. But back then, when they first did it, they was like some of the most hated men, not in America, but in the world. Like, and I think Evans was homeless. Like, both of them were homeless, like, for over a decade before homeless became an issue. And Ebony Magazine or Jet Magazine, though a black magazine back in the day, will always do a follow-up story once every 5 to 10 years. And what struck me later on as I became older, I was like 8 years old, I was watching Olympics. What struck me later on as I became a young adult, where was the black community?
Exactly.
The black community let these two brothers suffer, and they were on the podium, not in front of America, in front of the world, put their fists up in black solidarity up in the air, and the black community did nothing for them when they came home. Like with the Vietnam veterans, when they black Vietnam veterans came home, the black community was not there to protect them. So I just, like, I always wonder, like, how they lived so hard for, like, 15 years after they protest. And that's how come for a long time. Brothers like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Lawrence Taylor, all the brothers in that era, in the 80s and early 90s, didn't speak out on issues because they didn't want to lose their livelihood. Because they saw in the past what happened to black athletes that speak up, like Muhammad Ali. And he did this during his prime. And he was the most hated man, not only white community, in black America too. So it's definitely changed over the decades. And now with this platform, like you said, more black athletes are not afraid to speak out. Because like I said, other times or other shows, this police brutality been going on for years. It just didn't happen with Trayvon Martin. It's been going on, right. Like in Brooklyn. They did an article in the New York Times that in Brooklyn, if you get stopped by a police officer, especially in the 79th District, you have a 50% chance of leaving there alive. And that, my friend, was very scary back in those days. Because we didn't have cameras back in those days. We didn't have cell phone back in those days. And people used to think that we were paranoid, imagining things. Oh, we did something wrong. It's our fault. No, you just could be standing there and police will harass you. Especially when they came out with that stop and frisk law with Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke of that last week. Yeah, so yeah, I'm sorry to go on there, but like you said, it's been going on for years, and I'm glad to see that black athletes are becoming more socially conscious. Rashawn, you have anything to say?
Yes, I do. Okay, one of the questions I have, since racism and racial injustice is embedded in American society, why isn't black churches standing beside and marching with protesters?
All right, I think that's a very good question. I think back in the day they used to. I think it's just it's actually an interesting question. I'm trying to think of the answer. I think some of it could be you want to keep the peace and don't understand all the issues that are going on and how it affects the community. I think it could be that's actually a very interesting question. Now I'm trying to think of the answer to it, and it really makes me speechless, because I wish we would do more of that. I think we kind of separate it between where there's still a barrier where we're like, okay, well, we want God's going to work it out. We could pray. We can do what we can. And then at a wide scale, there's not a, okay, well, what can we do as a community to still come together as a church and show people that we need to march, we need to protest. And I think a lot of it is also with the COVID-19 and with churches not banning and getting together as much, you won't see the churches get out and speak as much. But I would actually like to see that happen. And from my perspective, like I said, I'm one of these is a pastor that chose a Generation World Church, which is in which is located in Conyers, Georgia, about 30 miles away from Atlanta, Georgia. And you know, we do what we can. We stay socially active in the community. But that actually is a very good question, and I would like to research that myself and be like, hey, what can we do? And talk to some other people, talk to some other, you know, or talk to my apostle and ask him, hey, what can we do to actually get in there and speak and talk and say, hey, you know, from a spiritual perspective, you know, we're God's children, but we don't need to be treated like, you know, like garbage, like dirt. And although we are to forgive those that hurt us, we do have a right to protect ourselves. So I do appreciate that question. Like I said, I'm not one to lie and say, and, you know, come up with superficial things on the top of my head. I really don't know why we don't. Maybe you can let me know if it was more widespread back in the 60s and 70s, and if it just has stopped now. But that is actually a very good question. I could research that and actually get back with you on that.
Okay.
Sean. I just want to pick it back. I'll go give it back to you, Michonne. But back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, you did have more churches that were involved in different organizing. But I think as of today, I hate to say this, and I don't want to generalize, because there are pastors like William Barber that's doing something for like the Poor People campaign. But you know, I think that the church today has become more of a commercial institution. It's about the buildings, about numbers, about prestige, instead of getting into the grimy issues of your community that you're serving. You know, so and not only churches, synagogues, mosques, you know, it just can't be just a religion of hope. You got to be a religion of doing. You know, you got to be, to me, you got to be a religion of doing and getting out there and showing your members, hey, we have to get involved. We do have a caller on the line. Let's bring this caller in. Yes, caller 0528. You're on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
This is Kenny Jones. This is Richard Shaw, Decatur, Georgia. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Richard?
Okay, doing well. I have a question, to stay on topic. I understand that the ministers have to deal with the 501c exemption for their churches, but my question to our guests, is it incumbent upon the lay members to push the pastor to be more assertive when it comes to the way young black men are being treated out on the streets, i.e. the police department, etc.? Should the lay members be the one to make that impetuous push to get that pastor motivated, to make him more aware of what's going on, what we're facing as church members?
Okay, so to answer your question, I know my apostle, and his name is James C. Thomas Sr., and he's active with it. So that's one of the ones where, you know, a lot of – you're going to have some pastors and some apostles and bishops where they're active with it and, you know, talking about it. He has his own podcast, so he talks about it, you know, and he talks in a fair way to where he says, you know, something needs to be done about it. So I think with the getting the broader of that question with the parishioners, I do think not only a push to say, hey, you know, there's stuff going on in our community, and because your parishioners are the heartbeat of your community, you know, so it is definitely very important for the parishioners to say something and, you know, just express to the pastor and just let him know, you know, to be socially aware, which ours is. So it's just up to the person to be socially aware and say, hey, look, you know, we want, not only are we asking you to speak out about it, but we've got your back. And I think one of the things is one of the reasons one of the past, you know, the pastors don't want to say anything. If there are pastors that don't want to say anything, it's because you do have parishioners who they'll say they want to, and then they don't. They back off when the pastor goes all in on speaking on those issues, just from, you know, fear of backlash. So, that question is a great question. The pastor does have a responsibility to address social issues, and at the same time, when the parishioners ask to address those issues, the parishioners also, when the pastor commits to doing so, the parishioners, I would say that it would be best if the parishioners show that, hey, we are behind you 100%. If that answers your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, just to ask another question about the five. With churches, with all religious organizations receiving that 501c3 exempt status, why, and you're not supposed to be politically involved, how come politicians, that's the first place they go to when they want the black vote, is the church? And you have a 501c3 status, and you're not supposed to be politically involved.
That's because they're not supposed to say anything against the government. That's what's in it. Not that politicians can't go to the church. They don't want the church leaders saying anything against the government.
Yeah, I never knew the 501c3 affected it. I've been, and maybe it does as far as like legally or on paper.
It does.
Okay. I didn't know that. Now I'm glad you brought that up. And it's crazy because it's that still doesn't stop, and it's either side. And I think that's the thing that divides us as a people, even in, you know, looking at the humanitarian part of being part of a church, and then, you know, allowing both Democrat and Republican. Because I've been in churches where one will be hardcore liberal, one will be hardcore, you know, conservative, and it's kind of crazy because instead of sometimes the politics actually does blind you from seeing the humanitarian side of, you know, as far as me being a Christian and what Jesus would want, you know, which is for people to be treated fair and equally. And that's something he actually did fight when he was here, and people don't recognize. And a lot of people that say that they're Christians don't recognize and realize that. So there are people that still speak out and still allow politicians to come there. Unfortunately, I wish it were more to the fact that where you can vote for, you want to vote for, but at the same time, you know, don't forget, as far as from a Christian perspective, for my brothers and sisters out there, don't forget that, you know, you're supposed to show love and show kindness to everybody regardless of what side of the aisle you're on.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, well, I did want to address that. Okay, you say that as Christians, you're supposed to show, basically turn the other cheek, show love to your enemies and things like that. But the same people who gave you the Bible, because our ancestors were not Christian, Jesus wasn't even a Christian, they gave you the religion, they gave you a name, they told you what to think, what gave you what they wanted you to eat and everything else. They want you to follow by that book and that rule. And even the Christian, the white so-called Christians don't even follow it or do anything. And there's a lot of millennials who don't even want to mess with the church because the church don't do anything and they really don't help anybody.
Well, that's definitely
not
that I understand.
When
well,
something goes
just,
wrong...
Let's
start with this. The Bible does say turn the other cheek, but the Bible also says, you know, as much as possible within you live peaceably with all men. But it also says if a brother offends you or somebody offends you, you have the right to stand up for yourself. You don't have to be a doormat. You don't have to be there. You don't have to be somebody's whipping boy. Now, unfortunately, to be honest with you, unfortunately, I do believe that there were evil people, evil, I don't mean for this to turn into a racial thing or a spiritual thing where we're arguing or debating, but I'm just giving you my perspective on the situation. I understand that I'm not going to divulge from your anger. I'm not going to divulge and just say, you know, you're going to dismiss how you feel. So, believe me, to sit here and be like I've been totally 100% to where I've not struggled with that part will be a total lie. I do believe that there were dishonest and that there were people that were, from my perspective, using the Bible to do what they wanted to other human beings. That's my perspective on it. Now, my faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ and how I feel about Jesus Christ stems from the fact that that's something that my father, who is an African American and Caribbean, he taught me. So through him, my faith came through what he taught. And unfortunately, there's good in everyone. There's good people that portray how Christians act. There are bad people. There are people you can put in a category and say, and use that Muslim or use somebody that's, and then just go ahead and go off the scope and say, well, all Muslims are bad. I hate all Muslims, you know. As far as us, look, I empathize with what you're saying. I definitely understand that it would make you angry to look at people that are, you know, using the Bible for hypocritical means. But as far as where my faith comes in is the fact that it's an individual faith. It's a faith that doesn't exclude anybody as far as anybody getting saved. It says, whosoever, you know, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So to me, am I saved? It includes everybody. And unfortunately, there are bad people that use good things for bad purposes. Now, as far as the church, now, it is unfair for you to say that the church doesn't help anybody. I've been in several churches, and I've been in several churches where I've volunteered to help the homeless. I've volunteered to help people who have been less fortunate. There's been, I mean, as many bad stories you might hear about pastors in Atlanta or pastors all around, there are pastors that will go out their way to help people. The reason you all hear a lot about it, though, is because there's a principle in the Word of God which says that don't let your deeds be made amongst men. So for anybody that's not a Christian that sees that a Christian is actually trying to do something for somebody, then that could be construed to the non-Christian as, oh, you're just bragging because you want to do something to show off, and, you know, you're just doing that just because you want to, you know, be somebody, be egotistical. So a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But I know that with my faith and how I ground my faith is that I try to treat everybody right. I try to treat everybody with love and respect. If I can help somebody that needs help, I'm there to help them. So as far as I'm concerned, if you've ever been offended by any Christian, I don't care if they're white and black. And by the way, there are bad people, quote unquote, white Christians out there, but there are good, quote unquote, white Christians out there as well. So it's on behalf of anybody, on behalf of somebody that is a minister and that is somebody who takes their spirituality seriously, I want to apologize if you've ever been treated or if you've ever been mistreated by any kind of Christian, because if you have, that's not the way that God says in His Word for you to be treated.
Yes, now, as long as you are being responsible with your faith, that's all that matters, as long as you try to stay on the righteous path. Let's move right along. We have an election coming up in a couple of months. What's your stance on Joe Biden versus Donald Trump?
The way that man acts like a cartoon character. Right now, honest, to be honest with you, man, I'm gonna have to look at the debates. Now I'm leaning more towards Biden, but a lot of I want to see him make a hard push for what are you gonna do. I want to see who's gonna make a hard push to get rid of these issues. By the time the other person, whoever gets elected, by the time 2024 and they're done, these issues with police brutality, with poverty still in the hood, with your power, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to help those that are in need, or are you going to continue to help you be selfish? So for me, I know for myself personally, I would say I'm leaning more towards Biden, but I want to see the debate to see how serious they're going to take these issues. You still got people dealing with coronavirus, COVID-19. You still got police brutality issues. We still got our own inner issues within each other. So, I mean, we have a lot of different things to deal with, and I just want to see which president candidate is going to try to do the best to make America a better place for everybody. And
check this out. Joe Biden don't even want to dread out issues. And as I've been saying in this show and other shows, that I had politicians come on this show, and I had to not confront them, but ask them, do we need not a minority agenda? No, not a people of color agenda. We need a black agenda. We need an agenda. Let me tell you something. Let's take Chinatown. Now, there's a Chinatown in almost every major city, but they don't run for politics. They don't run for mayors or governors or whatnot, but they are very, very influential in their city. Why? Because of the financial, and both you guys know, because y'all financial people, because of the financial and economic base they have. Yeah. And they don't have to they don't have to say much or do much. And you don't see police going up in their community brutalizing them. You don't see their educational system or the 25, 30 years behind. You know, this only happens in predominantly black inner cities. And it's a shame that we have to move in other culturally areas so our children can get a decent education. But you still would be harassed by the police because you're a face that is not, that they're not used to seeing. So I just want to say that none of these candidates don't impress me. Again, that's just again, like I'm looking through a black man lens. You know, none of these candidates impress me because they're not addressing our issues. I mean, Joe Biden was asked straight up. I forgot about a month ago about people by Charlemagne the God, I think, about reparations. And he danced all around it. He didn't even want to say the word reparations, which is, I learned last week, which is H.R. 40 by my friends in Texas. And nobody had nothing to say. Well, let's go to the caller. Do we have a caller on the line right here? Caller 5240. What's happening? Steve, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. Everybody can hear me?
Yes. We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. But I want to get one thing earlier. I want to say about the church and turning the other cheek. Before I get on to the Biden and the president thing, first I want to, because I've been holding on for a while, for turning the cheek, and I just, something I just won't do. I won't turn another cheek. I don't do much. I just, me, my opinion. I don't believe in turning another cheek and running and hiding. And you know what I mean? I can read the Bible, but I'm going to knock the fuck out you if you get wrong. My thing is, right here is, and I know some pastors that's good friends of mine that sing. Like I said, I won't go there. But like I said, I think church is good, but I think you just got to use it at your own will. I mean, when I say your own will, I mean you got everything about the Bible. You just have to use the Bible at your own discretion and just realize, even if you don't go to church, that the stuff that God has done for you. Like, I don't really go to church a lot, but I know I believe in God. I believe in the scripture. I believe in, but also I know that there's more people that's non-Christians got more, that are more nicer and got a better heart than the people who go to church every Sunday. Okay, on the other end, but like you said, because it was Biden and Donald Trump, I really don't have a, you know, like I said, I'm a little bit leaning towards Donald Trump, but really I, you know what I'm saying, really it's one of them type things where it's the last minute, last second before I even go vote, you know what I mean? Because I'm not, you know, I talk to most people and they say the same thing. Anybody pampered by their situation. So, you know, it's one of them things where a lot of people just gonna go at the end to vote, but right now ain't nobody really dancing. I don't see nobody really jumping for joy, except a few black women in the Democrat Party. You know what I mean? The Black Democrat Party. The lady I know, she's a Democrat Party. She want me to come to the house and us to get and do stuff, but I was like, nah, I can't. I can't go for that. I just can't. You know, she want to put out flyers and us to do stuff and meet downtown for Joe Biden. I just can't get on. Like I told her, I respect that she's been a friend of mine for years, but I can't get on the board with that. So I'm a last-minute person. I'm just going to see what's going on, what's on the black agenda, who's going to have the black side the most. And like you said, I hope all this police stuff be gone, this racial stuff be gone. I hope that a lot of stuff can help African-Americans out, how we can start teaching our kids to save money for retirement, be retired by the time they're 40 to 45, you know, that blacks can stop killing other blacks and saying Black Lives Matter. I've been doing a lot of shooting just where I met in the same city, blacks just killing blacks, stuff like that with there. So, you know, in 2020, there's just so much going on. You know, I'm frustrated, you know, with my mind, I'm still frustrated because you got the Ike the Chaz Boardman. You know, God kept him with counsel, but you still got Donald Trump living. I mean, to me, I'm just shaking my effing head because I don't understand that foolishness. And I've got to tone myself down from not getting mad at God because my mom said, hey, God know everything. But I'm like, man, do he really? But that's my thought. I don't want to get y'all about all that there, but I think I can't foresee that. If I'm God, I can't foresee taking a good man and leaving a slimy man to destroy the earth. It doesn't make sense. And that's just my thought. So I'm going to just take my thoughts up the air and all the callers know I'm
right.
It
like, doesn't make sense.
You take a good black guy and you let him die. And you got Donald Trump lying and bullshitting, prostituting, buying books and all that. You got him still living, destroying the world. And then that's another reason why I don't too much deal with church. Because to me, it's just a bunch of hypocrites. But don't stop going to church. For y'all who go to church, go to church. Please go to church. Don't do it on my site. That's just my opinion. I don't want to change y'all's opinion, and you're not going to change mine. So I'm going to take it off the air, and y'all can handle it. But I'm still stuck in the head about that. You kill a good man, and you let a slimy man live on and be president. Okay.
Thank you for your call. Brother Rudy, you want to try to tackle that statement?
He's talking about the statement he made where he said a good man died in Donald Trump living?
Yes.
All right, so like you said, man, we don't understand why God does everything he does. I know that there's a verse in the Bible that says all things work together for good to them that love God. So I want to encourage, you know, the brother not to be disheartened about that. You know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, the way it works sometimes, there's a lot of good people that leave this earth, and then there's a lot of bad people that stay here. But God uses everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, even if you're trying to do, you know, quote unquote evil, or you're doing something wrong, God can still use you to do whatever he wants you to do. So for me, it's like, look, I'm not a Trump fan at all. I mean, I'm like I said before, I'm waiting. I'm kind of like the previous call. I'm last minute. I want to see what each one has for the black agenda, and you know, go from there. But for me, I've seen more people shaking and moving. I don't, becoming entrepreneurs by the time, you know, at the time Donald Trump was in office. I'm not saying that Trump is the reason why, but I'm saying that you have a lot of people that are looking and like, I can't trust this idiot with my money, or I can't trust this guy with what he's going to do with the country. So I got to get on my own grind and start my own business and start making my own money. So for me, it's like, even if, you know, this person, people have a evil conception about him, and he does dumb stuff. Let's be honest with you. Neither candidate is the prettiest pick that is on the platform, you know? So it's up to us, like us, to actually say, you know what, I'm not waiting on a candidate to make money. I'm not waiting on a candidate to help me with my, you know, with my radio show or my fitness business. I can't wait on somebody to promise something to me. I got to go out and get it myself.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
So you don't have a problem with voting for someone who says they do not like black people? They're racist.
No, that's
so
all.
You don't have a problem
that's all
giving
saying.
A racist
I don't,
a vote.
I have no idea, because you got one guy that says you got Biden that says, hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And then you got another guy that says, well, kick these son of bees off the field. And we know that Donald Trump ain't talking about talking about white people when they kneel down. You've got Biden that, you know, that hasn't done anything in office for years. You have Trump that just got into office and wrecking stuff. So right now, as far as I know, like I said before, I don't know, to tell you the truth, who I'm voting for. Because you don't have any of the – you have two candidates who don't, in my mind, aren't fit to be – don't handle and don't carry themselves fit enough to be the president of the United States. Now, with the presidential candidacy, I'm going to have to do my work. That's why I'm going to sit down, watch the debates, see which ones present the best arguments, go through their history, go through what they've done.
At the end of the day, they still racist. So you have no problem
giving a racist your vote.
I said I vote for Mickey Mouse. You know, like unless your independent candidate is going to come on strong and everybody's
up there and call you the N word and say it right on there, and you have no problem, right? Like a lot of other black people, and go out there and run and give them their vote, and then y'all be their good N word.
All right, let's go to
What would your suggestion be? What would your suggestion be?
Hell, they garbage to me. They not getting my vote. I don't like none of the candidates out there. None. And I personally don't think it's going to really make that much of a difference whoever wins. Evil versus evil. Evil is going
to
win.
So then that's why it's important to do your... So that's why it's important to get on your grind. Get on your purpose. You can't sit... I'm not waiting for another candidate.
I done went back and did my research on both of them. And I don't like neither one of them.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's bring this caller in. Okay, 3438. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Hey, how you doing?
I had a question for your caller. I mean, not for your caller, but for your guest. And
yeah,
my question to him is, why does he feel so comfortable voting for Donald Trump?
Well, I actually said, once again, I'm going to reiterate, neither candidate is worthy or qualified, to run this country. I think both of them have absolute horrible flaws. And even if you didn't like, doesn't matter which party you were, it didn't matter. If you looked at Obama and you looked at Bush Jr., the last two presidents, even if we didn't like them, the one thing you can say is they handle themselves with some sort of dignity and
class.
But
my question was, why do you feel comfortable? I'm not asking about all the other people in the world. I'm asking about you and Donald Trump. I'm asking, why do you feel comfortable with Donald Trump?
I don't feel comfortable with either candidate, and I'm going to actually
sit down.
No, not
either. I said Donald Trump. Why do you feel comfortable with Donald Trump? Not anybody else, not his mother, not his sister, not his cousin, Donald Trump. Why do you feel comfortable with Donald Trump?
If I were to give you an answer with Donald Trump, it's because he actually has put money into investing into HBCUs. That would be my answer, and that would be one of the main reasons why I would vote for Donald Trump if I vote for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Breaking news, everyone.
That was it.
Breaking news. Neither candidate would do anything for the black community. They have historically they haven't, and they will not.
Well, see, I would differ with that.
The first thing I would differ with
is just Obamacare alone. When you look at the rate of decrease of black people who are uninsured has been so great under Obamacare, that even though it's not labeled black care, it has had such an impact on black America. That'll be number one.
Anybody could jump in.
No, I said my piece on why, if I were to vote for Donald Trump, why would I vote for Donald Trump? I already said my piece on that.
And another reason I will say that it makes a big difference was this difference you see every day. And the difference you see every day is every day when you see a conference with Donald Trump, you don't see anyone that looks like you. And if that makes you feel comfortable, that means when you go and request a job, or you go and fill out a job application or have a job interview, you feel comfortable knowing that chances are you won't get a job because they're going to look just like Donald Trump's administration. Obama's administration was just the opposite. The total opposite. So that means you feel comfortable with Donald Trump's imagery. And not only the imagery, but the actuality that he hires only basically white males. And that means you feel comfortable with that. So do you feel comfortable with that?
It's actually untrue because I actually have a friend of mine that works with Donald Trump that's a black lady.
Okay, you said a friend. I say just look at a picture any single day, and you look at everyone in his administration. The only person he had, only black person that's in a cabinet position. I'm not saying one that washes dishes or is a Social Security card holder, whatever, a Social Security card clerk. I said of all
no,
the people who sit at the table who makes a big decision, the only black person
running.
There is the guy
yeah.
from Baltimore, the only one. So I'm asking you, does that make you feel comfortable?
I'm not trusting any candidate for my future. If I get a job, I get a job. If I need the training to get a job, I'm relying on my skill set to get that job. If I cannot get a job, I will continue to become an entrepreneur to make my own way. So I'm not scared of whether or not I get a job or how Trump's administration looks or how Biden looks. I put myself in my own shoes and say, hey, I'm not waiting for another candidate to blame or to help me or to give credit to. If you were listening earlier, I said I'm not comfortable with either candidate at all.
Okay, but let's begin.
So
we just talking about that one candidate, because if we talked about the differences, we already see that not only had the vice president worked for a black man, but now he's picked a black woman. And if you go back to the 1972 National Black Political Convention, that was one of the things that black people wanted back in 1972.
I remember.
And that would have a percentage, and that was a percentage of black people in positions of power compared to the amount of votes they gave to the Democratic Party. And at this point, you have a large number of black Democratic people in Congress. So it's fulfilling that dream from 1972. And now they had not only a black president of the Democrat, but now a black woman. So they're fulfilling that dream from 1972. That doesn't mean anything to you?
No, actually no, because Kamala Harris was a general attorney in San Francisco, California, is responsible for putting innocent black men in jail and withholding their sentences. So, no, I don't feel comfortable with the Democratic woman in office on Biden's ticket. I don't. But I'm not going to hold that against her. I'm going to take my time to look at both parties and make my vote from there.
So that means that you dislike every black lawyer who had some kind of opportunity, or even a black security guard who had a part in putting a black man in jail, whether he was wrong or right.
No, look, if you got to do your job.
Well, you talked about her putting a black man in jail. So I'm asking you about the security guard, the one who makes $15 an hour, and he tells on a black person who ends up in jail. He runs for office. You're going to look at his record and find out that he had a black person put in jail. So you're going to dislike him too. I'm asking you.
Oh, if you put an innocent man in jail, black, we already persecuted as it is. We as black men already have it hard.
And you determine, and you're the judge, and you determine that he's innocent.
If the evidence shows, yes. If the evidence shows, if he deserves to go to jail
but
for what he did.
You know, we're in America, we have a judge and a jury and a legal system that determines that, not an individual.
Okay, I have another call. I got to get another call in. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
8051, you're on the line.
Yeah. I'm talking. I just got on, but I'm hearing that somebody might not want to vote for Kamala Harris. Why would you vote Trump when he has already put in 198 judges, and they're in for life, and they're going to control judicial system? We don't have to worry about Kamala Harris. We better worry about Trump getting back in the office. If he can put 198 in, and that's not only in the Fed, federal court, that's all across the board. I think just for that, we need to get him out of office and deal with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden when it comes to. We got to stop these little issues about somebody who's running against Trump, because if they can't be any worse, we have to make up our mind. And this is the only time, and the time is right, that we have to start voting a ticket as a black community.
I have a question I'm going to say. Okay. How can a Christian or somebody who claims they are a Christian vote Democratic when Democratic values and Christian values are totally opposite of each other? And they are.
Okay. Well, who are you going to vote for? You're not going to vote? So you have to make a choice on who you think might do the right thing. Just because Trump has not yet messed with the religious group,
I think any Christian to go after and vote Democratic will do
well,
anything.
Well, let us try to answer that.
If you're going against what that Bible says in one place, you're going to go against it in all other areas also.
Let our guest try to handle that. Let our guest try to respond. Go ahead, Brother Rudy.
Okay, let me respond.
All right. So your response to that, you're absolutely right. A lot of your Christian views are conservative views, but you also, like I said, look at the character of the person that is there. So, you know, to be totally honest, when I first voted, a lot of it was conservative. So I ended up going for Bush in 2004, and when Obama came out and handled himself and showed himself like a president and classy and he went up against McCain, which that one was neck and neck. I voted for Obama because I felt like as a person, he handled himself with different, you know, being class and, you know, brought on some good things. And there's some good qualities about Democrats. There's some things I disagree about Democrats. I disagree about being pro-choice. I believe everybody, especially those that are, you know, the children and the fetus
deserve.
But doesn't
that make you a hypocrite as a preacher? Aren't you being hypocritical when you sit up there and you preach one thing and with your actions you do something else?
It really depends. I mean, you have the freedom to vote for who you want. You can have it
both ways. Unless in the Bible somewhere I missed it where you can straddle the fence, because that's exactly what you're doing. Straddling the fence.
It's possible.
So who would you vote for? What is your religion and who would you vote for?
Okay.
What is your religion and who would you vote for?
I'm spiritual and I am a God.
I only have a minute. I'd like to thank everyone for calling in. Brother Rudy, I'd like to thank you for being my guest and to have yourself pretty well this evening. I know they was coming at you, but that's Black Urban America. And I like to thank everyone for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow for The Cutting Edge with me, Sean Williams. Again, I am because we are because I am. I hope everyone have a good, solid week. And be safe.
Hold it now.